microwaved coffee.
So I'm really excited. I'm going to go to Guitar Center this week. I think I'm going to get myself an electric drum set.
Oh, so I was thinking about buying one too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
they're still loud. Have you checked on YouTube?
No, I've used one before though. I didn't think it was that loud. Was it that loud?
Were you wearing headphones?
Yeah, if you don't wear headphones,
I've been around people when they're playing them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I was looking for some too. Because I was like, I kind of want to play something that's not loud when we move. And I was like, there's like a number of instruments I wanted to learn how to play, and then I was looking for electric drum sets. Mm-hmm. And then when they were reviewing them, part of the reviews for one guy was like, this is how loud it sounds, like, outside. And he's like, and it's just like, I don't know if you've ever heard someone play Rock Band, it's like louder.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well,
Rock Band's pretty loud too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just, I'm only concerned about, I'm just concerned about like neighbors.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that'll.
Yeah, that's why that. I think that's why that guy was reviewing when he does reviews.
I like reviews like that, like thorough like
the sound, because yeah, he lives in an apartment.
Yeah, because that's not something you think of. You're like, well, it's an electric drum set, so
and you have headsets on, so you're like, I don't know, it's quiet to me. And you're like, well, obviously.
And then every review that I saw always recommended to buy the pad for the bass pedal,
because
there's some that do like a digital, and he's like, it doesn't always sync up with what you're pressing to what, because it's like wireless or something. And he's like, and you don't feel it, so like you don't know if you're like actually hitting it, but when you have the little pad, it's like, and he's like, it's like an extra $100 or extra $200, he's like, but it makes like the world of a difference. So he's like, if you can buy it, do it. If you can't, well then, you know, buy it later or whatever.
Yeah, they're not as expensive as I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing.
I thought they were like, gonna be like $600-$700, and they're like $200-$300. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's
it's bad. Like a cheap guitar. It's like,
yeah. And I'm also not like, I haven't played in a long time, and I have my actual drum set, so I was like, I don't think I need to invest in like a super, super amazing.
Yeah.
It's just for me to practice.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's not like you're gonna play a live show with electric.
What? No.
If Dave Grohl can learn how to play drums on pillows, I can use a cheap drum set.
if I could
on pillows, that's nuts.
If I could learn My Chemical Romance on drum set by just imagining,
you just sat down, and you're like, okay, I think it's, you just played it.
I was like at work, I was like, just like playing air drums. I was like, I think I got it.
Yeah,
and I did okay.
Yeah, you like, did it. That was good.
It wasn't like perfect or anything, but I was like, if I kept going, I might have. Yeah, Gus, who used to work with us, he told me the same thing too. He's not a drummer, but he just was like, he said he would just sit and play on his lap.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he would like kick and play on his lap, and he said that's how he learned how to play drums.
Yeah, because coordination is like the biggest part.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just being able to like play two different things at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, Oscars?
Yeah, I didn't watch it
because
I was too busy
Oscars.
Eating McDonald's French fries and orange Hi-C.
Ivan,
it's back.
Hi-C is back, you guys.
The Hi-C.
Mm-hmm. Ivan is very happy.
Yep, I made a big deal about it when it went away 3 years ago. Apparently, or
a very
what is
big
that?
Deal.
4 years ago.
Yeah,
2017.
Time is a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, someone put on like TikTok or Instagram that Fat Lip by Sum 41 is 20 years old, and I wanted to jump off a bridge. I was like, I'm so fucking old. I don't even.
Yeah, well, it was. Yeah,
so
2001.
So what? 4 years ago is when they got rid of it, the Hi-C.
What is that? Is it 4 years ago? 2017?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Do you math?
I thought it was 3 years.
It was 2017 for sure.
Because
I saw the date. Yeah, when I was reading the article, it said 2017, and I was like,
that's right, because I was still living.
Yeah.
With you,
we
your
were still
parents,
living together,
yeah.
Ever since then, like at least 5 times a year, I'm like, I really want to
orange
Hi-C right now with some French fries. Mm-hmm. I don't really eat McDonald's, and then that's the only thing I used to eat was large fries, large Hi-C.
Yeah.
And then they took the Hi-C away, and I think I've been to McDonald's like once or twice.
Yeah.
Where
they
I
lost
actually
a lot
bought
of business.
Something. Yeah.
And then it was funny because there was a petition and we thought you started it. And then Vanessa's like, nobody did sign it.
I did sign it. I signed it right away. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The only thing I've watched since, like, or while moving is that show that Made for Love, I think is what it's called, on HBO, which was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I wanted a...
Made for Love?
Yeah. It makes sense when the title doesn't make sense, but when you watch the show, the title is.
Yeah, that looked... That yeah, really.
It's an HBO. It's basically about like a tech guy who kind of isolates himself and is married to a girl who he just met. Like they just met and got married.
Mm-hmm.
But and then he like puts a chip in her head. And that's all I could say.
What?
It looked really good when I saw like
a Dorito
trailer.
Chip?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. He puts like a computer chip. And then, yeah, he's like the Elon
Musk
okay. of that place. But he's awkward. I don't know. It makes sense when you watch it. I thought it was really good. It's only 8 episodes, I think.
Okay.
Sure. And they're like, do you think they're going to make another season?
It ended like they would, but I kind of hope they don't. I kind of hope they just leave it alone.
Yeah. My sister got so mad at me because she asked me like weeks ago. She was like, oh, did you see when the trailer for Space Jam came out? And she was like, oh, did you see the trailer for Space Jam? And I'm like, I'm so fucking like, can we stop? There are so many talented writers. And I went this like rant. My sister was like, ugh, just like ruin everything. And I was like, there's so many talented writers. And we keep remaking these movies that we had when we were little for nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And I'm like tired of it. Like, I'm not interested. I don't want to watch another remake of a movie I loved when I was a kid. Like, I don't need it. It's fine. I'll just go back and watch that same movie. And so it's the same thing with TV shows where they're like making sequels when there's no need for a sequel. Oh, like, did you hear they just announced the How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you
do
that?
They already tried and it didn't work.
No.
They
tried like a How I Met Your Father or something, right?
Yeah, that's what they're calling this one too.
How I Met Your Father?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah, and it didn't have the original like people backing it up either. And
no, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then this one, I think they're gonna try to do Hilary Duff or something as like the main character.
She's still alive.
She's like our age. She's still alive.
Yeah, I think she's like one of the few child actors that
who didn't
go nuts.
Yeah, kept her sanity.
Fortunately, yeah.
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 It's they need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
It's just like that show that you just described sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it's
really cool.
Came up with that theme, and it's like,
and it would only happen in like places like that, like HBO, because they're the only ones. I did kind of want to give a shot to the one with the new one that just came out with Ed Helms. It kind of
oh my god, I've heard that's so good. The one about it? Something Falls, the one about the town,
the town,
the native town. Yeah, everyone's raving about it.
Okay.
It's so good, and it's the same people who did, you know, The Good Place on Parks and Rec. And
oh, okay, that's so what it kind of looked like. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to see if that one was anything different, but yeah, I'm kind of tired of rewatching the same old things. Like, they just redid Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that
on
just
HBO
came out.
And I'm just like, can we just leave things alone?
Yeah, just leave things alone. We don't need another version of it. But...
Yeah, I was actually talking to Vanessa the other day. I was like, I'm kind of like... I know people are excited that, like, they're bringing all these... Like, in Marvel or comic books, and they're changing all these characters that already exist to be more... diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I kind of feel like I wish they would just make new characters for these people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there isn't really like a Mexican superhero.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, I kind of don't want them to make like a
character that already exists Mexican when it was
Iron Man. And I'm like, just give me a new guy, like a half luchador,
half,
I don't know, something
that
represents, like,
again, you have so many talented graphic artists.
Yeah.
Why don't you take one of their characters? And...
Yeah, like they made Captain Marvel is like a teenage, like Middle Eastern. Like, I think she's Muslim or something like that. And I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, why couldn't someone just make a character for And I'm not saying like she doesn't deserve to be Captain Marvel. I'm just saying it's like it feels lazy.
Yeah, because it would be even cooler to create a specific character that would match those traits would match with that person mm-hmm. and who they are instead of just saying like, okay, Spider-Man can be anyone, which yeah, Spider-Man can be anyone, but why do that? Why not like make a new character?
Yeah.
There was a really great bit that Donald Glover had about Spider-Man. He liked this. He was like, because a lot of people were petitioning for him to be Spider-Man years ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I heard of that.
And he was like, it was like a big campaign when he was on Community. Like, they were like, make him, this is before he got like really, really popular.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, make him Spider-Man. And then he was like, people got mad. And he's like really mad. And he's like, and you know what? You have no right to be, because he was like, Spider-Man sounds black. And he's like, let me give you a description. And he's like, he's a kid who doesn't have parents because he got killed by a shot. And he's like, he's from Queens. Like, he's like, I don't know why. And he's like, if I describe this person to you, you would assume it was a black kid. And he's like, so I don't know what the problem is. But
I mean, yeah, they did make a black Spider-Man.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it was
the animated one.
Why not make
he's like an actual character.
Oh, really?
Miles Morales, yeah. There was like a whole separate comic book where they try to do it more
mm-hmm.
adult called the Ultimate Universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where...
Oh, I thought you meant movie though.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, the comic... Like yeah, the character's the comic, actual yeah, real, yeah. The
character's real.
Yeah. Is a real. And then they brought him to... Because he was such a popular character, they just brought him to the regular...
Yeah. That movie is one of like the best animated films I've ever seen. It was so good.
Yeah.
And I had like zero interest in watching it. And my sister was like, oh, you got to watch
it. You have to watch it.
First of all, the music got me hooked.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing. And then like, I was watching, I'm like, this is so good. Mm-hmm. This is so good. But yeah, I agree. They should just make new characters mm-hmm. or make new stories.
Someone, I don't know.
It's just so much better.
Or give like a Mexican or like I'm just assuming a Mexican. If they want to make a Mexican character,
mm-hmm.
hire a Mexican American writer. To create a Mexican-American character.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, there's some really good original shows, but those don't really get the attention.
Same thing with movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I saw a show. There's a show called... Shoot, I don't remember what it's called. It's on HBO, but it's about, influencers and people who have gotten made it really big and then had a downfall.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, have you guys heard of the Hollywood Con Queen?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope.
There is for those of you listening, if you need a new podcast, listen to a podcast called Hollywood Con Queen. Or no, it's called Chameleon. Hollywood mm-hmm. Con Queen. Okay. So I started listening to this podcast because, as you guys know, but maybe our listeners don't know, I got scammed, luckily not bad. They didn't take anything from me because I realized what was happening a few years ago. So basically, there is a person who has been scamming people for about 5-6 years now with film workers. So PAs, makeup artists, it's always the people that are like behind the scenes that people don't really like, care about. So what they're doing is they're telling them that they're getting this big job, that they need to fly to Thailand, I think, or Singapore, and they need to fly over there, and then they get there, and their room is paid, so you don't know that what's going on because your room is paid for, your flight is not though, and so you're told that you're going to get reimbursed. And then you get there, your hotel is paid for, and it's a really nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this driver. And this driver is driving you around. So there was these people that were getting ripped off, but they weren't well known, obviously, because they're behind the scenes people, but they are very big in what they do. So, for example, there was this guy. He's from Australia, and he's like a fitness guy and a stuntman. And so he had trained all these people. Like, I think he trained some of the people on 300. So he had done, like, very credible work. And he got duped out of something like $6,000, $10,000 or something like that. And it's not as bad as other people. Other people were like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I guess what happens is that they get there and then they tell them, it's like small amounts of money. Like, you have to pay for this, 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 and this. And then they just don't get reimbursed and they're like stuck in that country. But the people that are doing it are so good. And everybody who got scammed, and including the FBI, because the FBI is involved now, even they're like, this person, like most people that you ask, are not only mad that they got scammed, they're mad that this person doesn't do something else for a living, because they were like, they are so talented. Like, they could be using this talent to make legit money. Mm-hmm. And they're not, because they were like, it is an insane amount of coordination and work to get this to happen, because they have other people working from them, like for them, to get the money. And then they're like, it's not even that much money. It's not worth the work for the money they're getting, because it's not that much money for all the work. So anyways, what happened to me was that a couple years ago, I got asked to be a production coordinator on a small project. They told me that they were filming in San Diego. I was like, cool. They told me what I needed to do. They said they were going to send me a check to get the all the equipment together. Unfortunately, what they didn't know is that I don't have money at all. My bank account was like $100. I literally had nothing in my name. So they told me to go cash a check and then go to this other location and get the pick up the equipment. So I went to the bank and went inside the bank, because that's what you do. You're going to cash a check.
Yeah.
And then I'm in line and in the instructions.
Oh, I think I remember you telling.
Yeah, in the instructions they had told me, when I was talking to them, and I actually talked to the guy too. Now, they did say they were from Hong Kong, which is not crazy. There are a lot of production companies there. And they gave me a legit website. I found the information for it. Like, it wasn't, I probably should have done deeper digging and seen that, like, maybe the website was just created or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they told me to go cash the check. I go cash the check, and the bank teller is like, I don't think this check is real. And I was like, what? That's weird. And then so she was like, who'd you get the check? So I told the bank teller my entire
story.
Like, this is what I have to do. Because I'm like, I have no reason to lie to her. I'm not hiding anything. And she goes, do you mind if I check? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And then so she goes and check, and she's like, yeah, this is not real. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. So I call the guy back, and then he tells me to do it through the ATM. And I'm like,
No,
I was like, that's where they, I was like, okay, this is a scam, because I was like, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. Like, if I go, so what I didn't know at the time, but I found out later after talking to my mother-in-law, was that she was like, if you put it in the ATM, you're going to get that money right away, whether it's approved or not. Like, the ATM apparently doesn't always read fake checks. So the ATM
gives
the
money, you're responsible for that money.
Yeah, because it was a fake check.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, lucky for that, me, have no money, so there's nothing I could take out.
And that you went in.
And I went inside. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, there is a, if you guys do want to know more about it, and maybe you don't want to listen to the podcast, there's one episode of that show. It's only about 40 minutes. It's on HBO, and it's titled Hollywood Con Queen. If you guys are interested, it's really good. And they interview three of the people that got scammed. It's really terrible, because people, you know, everybody asked those people, how could you fall for this? And what people don't understand is that in production, that's how it works. Like, we don't always work for big corporations. And so we don't get paid up front. So it is very normal to be like, hey, can you drive here and we'll pay you for gas when you get back? Like, that's a normal thing, especially on a small production.
Mm-hmm.
And these people thought they were working on a small production, but they wanted to take the opportunity to like have that in their credits.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they took like total advantage of that. So what they're trying to do now is they're trying to get the industry to make more precise rules so that people know when they're getting, like, for example, if you're an actor and you get an agent, the way you know that the agent is legit is because they don't get paid till you get paid.
Okay.
So that's like a really strict, that's like 101. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So when you see all
these... So it makes them work hard too, because if not,
they're
just...
To get your job, because they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
So when you... There are a lot of agencies like the model ones that you always used to see ad fours in like the 90s, the Barbizon mount models or whatever. There's those people that tell you that you have to pay a yearly fee. And so a lot of people fall for that. And I even signed up for one when I was like starting for acting, and somebody was like,
don't do that.
Never. They were like, no agent will ever ask you for money up front. Nobody. And I was like, okay, cool. And it's like the best advice I ever got.
Yeah, it's good advice to have.
So what they're trying to do now, because of this has happened, because this person scammed people out of like, I think it was like $2-3 million, something like that.
Jeez.
More than that, I think. It was a lot of money. So what they're trying to do now is come up with a more consistent way for you to know whether it's like legit or not. But yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah, this is a Microwave Coffee Podcast. Now we're sad.
Yeah.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Kishan Zenu.
And I'm Justin Park.
So, luckily, my topic is depressing. I'm joking.
Oh, no!
So, on that note.
So sad.
Surprise, it has to do with racing. Because Kijan sent me a thing. It's not going to be about what Kijan sent me, but it got me like reading on stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, so Kijan helps out at the Grossmont College. Is that what it is?
Grossmont High School Museum.
High School Museum, yeah. And she sent me a picture of a guy who went to Grossmont.
Hi. Yeah, his name's Dick Barber.
Dick Barber, yeah. And he raced at Le Mans.
Yeah.
And I think he actually placed for his division at Le Mans.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't remember what division it was, but they drove a Porsche.
And he was there with Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same Paul Newman, though.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a picture with him, the actor. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a race car driver.
The dressing guy?
Maybe I sent you. Oh no! I sent you the one with the cars, right?
You sent me both. The one where, but the Paul Newman, it was a race car driver.
Oh, we have a picture. We have a picture of him with the actual actor.
Oh, okay. Unless it's like you sent me one.
Yeah, that's not him.
No, that was a race car driver. Like, because at Le Mans, since it's 24 hours, they don't stop.
Yeah.
And so they use three drivers. So two drivers sleep while one driver's racing. And I was reading it was just like a race car driver.
Wait, what the heck? That guy looks identical to Paul Newman.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's actually the same, but yeah, that guy raced.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this guy, the Dick.
Oh, no. Yeah. It says six celebrities who drove the 24 hours.
Oh, so he did drive. He did drive. Yeah, he drove and they won.
I was like, oh my God, that guy looks exactly like him.
Yeah, Rolf Stommelen. And then, yeah, those guys drove and won. And the Dick Barber guy is still alive.
Oh, and sweet.
They moved to like Atlanta or something like that. So now the racing team is like based off of Atlanta or something. Because I was like, oh, I wonder if they're still here.
Yeah.
And I guess like in the early 2000s or something like that, they moved. Yeah. And actually, if you read the Ford versus Ferrari, how, like I said, Ford entered to race again when they redid the Ford GT.
Mm-hmm.
Dick helped.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he helped Ford get them back into Le Mans.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, brings it back. I don't remember what episode it is. Like,
yeah. You know,
50 something, maybe.
I'll figure it out.
40.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Maybe between 35 and 70.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't one of the first ones. No, I think it was one of the first ones of last year, right? Of 2020. Something like that.
Were we recording in person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
at least for the first few months. Mm-hmm.
It was when Ford versus Ferrari came out.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Episode 27.
Okay. So, anyway, we're going to talk about a woman named Janet Guthrie.
Oh.
Janet Guthrie was born in March 7th, 1938 in Iowa City, Iowa, which I always think those cities are funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kansas City, same. Kansas. Yeah.
There's a joke in A Million Ways to Die in the West where somebody says, oh, I'm from Kansas, but it's not, it's the other Kansas.
Yeah.
And they were like, but not Kansas City. And then Seth MacFarlane's like, oh, well, that's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a California City, California.
California, yeah. California.
Anyway, she moved to Florida when she was little, or her whole family moved. When she was in Florida, her dad got a job for, like, I think it was called, like, East Shore Airlines or something like that.
One of the ones that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and she ended up liking, like, airplanes and flying at that point, and she actually got her pilot's license at age 17.
Dang.
Yeah, and at that point in time, women couldn't be, like, airline pilots. So she was like, well, then I guess I'll go to college since I can't do what I want.
So she was allowed to get her pilot's license, but she wasn't allowed to actually
fly. So she could fly, but she couldn't do commercial, like, she couldn't work for, like, those big airlines.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much I'd trust a 17-year-old to be flying my plane, but...
It's true, but I mean...
But then also back then, people did a lot more by that age.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I would trust a 17-year-old now doing TikTok dances in the middle of their flight. Oh my God. No,
thank you. I mean, autopilot, kind of, and then they're like...
They do kind of fly themselves a little. Like, the pilots are there, from what I've read, to get it up in the air and in case something goes wrong. So, like, they know how to fly and they can do everything manually. But now with, like, GPS and all that stuff, it's like the plane kind of, like, does a lot of the work, which is... Yeah, it's nice to know that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. I learned that from, what's that Tom Cruise movie? The American Made.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, the reason that guy got into, like, transporting drugs is because he was so bored. Because he was, like, an airline pilot. Oh, but he's like, we don't do anything. Oh, yeah. We just put it on all. He's like, we literally just press a button and then
we're done. Yeah, it kind of goes straight.
So he was, like, bored with his life.
Yeah. So anyway, after she was disappointed about not being able to fly, she went to the University of Michigan because she wanted to become an aerospace engineer. When she got there, I guess back in the day they had, like, dean and, like, counselors for women and then for men. And the one for the women said, basically criticized her for wanting an engineering degree. And said, any woman who is smart enough to know, is smart enough to know that they're going to University of Michigan is to find a husband. Like, if she's, like, not smart enough to know that that's what she's going for, then she's not smart enough to go to the University of Michigan. I'm like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
So basically they didn't want to let her, like, they were criticizing her for wanting an engineering degree, which is kind of still, like, there isn't a lot of women who are engineers.
But. My sister was dating a guy that was studying mechanical engineering. He said there was one woman in his entire class, and that woman was actually in one of my women's studies class. And I was like, oh, you're the one. And she was like, yeah, I'm the one. And she was like, it's insanely different. Like, she was like, even as a group, we're a small group. Yeah, there's only about, I think she said something crazy, like 20 of us, 30 of us. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. But I mean, it pays off. That guy's now working for Tesla. So
yeah,
you make your money.
Vanessa's cousin was also, she was like one of three women in the entire program for the school for mechanical engineering. Yeah.
Oh, you guys actually know him. He worked with us, Kalen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He actually left Apple because the second he graduated, he got offered a job, like, immediately. And I was like, I'm like, if it's that hard, you better get offered a job.
Yeah, he got offered a job at that place in J Street, that big orange building or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then from there went to Tesla.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, insanely hard.
Yeah. So anyway, she was pretty smart. She was one of four women that qualified for the scientist astronaut program at NASA.
When it was the other three, the Hidden Figures ladies?
No, those ladies were not astronauts. Like, she could have been an astronaut.
Oh, an astronaut. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not one of the scientists.
But she was disqualified because they required, after a while, they started to require a doctorate. And so she didn't have a doctorate.
That sucks.
So instead, she got a job as an aerospace engineer.
God. What a letdown.
Yeah. So she loved sports cars since she was little. So with her money, she bought a Jaguar XK140.
Do you have a picture?
We need pictures. Justin and I need pictures.
I could get one.
Hold on. I'll pull one up out of here.
I want to see this.
Jaguar
XK140. It's a really nice car. I'm sure you've seen it in like
I
movies.
I have seen it because it looks like the, what's the James Bond car? The Aston Martin or whatever.
Aston Martin. But yeah, this one, let me see.
Ooh, that's nice.
Let me see which one pulled up. Cause,
this one?
Yeah, that, yeah. Exactly like that actually. Yeah, yeah.
So nice.
And one day she was driving around town and she saw a bunch of people racing, like driving their cars around cones, and whoever finished the course would win. That's how she described it. That's how she understood what they were doing at the time. And then she said, so she was driving by and she was like, I could do that. And so she started competing with people there. And then from there, she went on to actually start racing. So her family would say that she basically would spend all her money from work in like fixing a car to race it in the weekends.
Dang.
So in 1963, she began to race like regularly, like every weekend, basically. She was part of the Sports Car Club of America. She won a lot of races during that time from 1966 to 1971. She was also a member of an all-women racing team. She was offered to compete in the Indianapolis 500 in 1976 by Rolla Volstead, who was a car owner. But he was like considered one of the last low budget race car owners because racing was starting to pick up. So like a lot of rich people were starting to race and sponsor, like companies were starting to sponsor cars. And this guy was like, he would always get like rookie drivers. So he's actually like accredited for finding a lot of like legendary drivers that started, like one of them was like Mario Andretti, who like most people know, started with him. And then because he didn't have that much money, he can never keep them. So they'd always get offers for more money somewhere else. And then they would go. So for this race, he had seen her drive before and thought, well, maybe she can race for my team or whatever.
Had there ever been at that point a female driver?
No. Well, I mean, not like for the not for the Indy 500. No woman had qualified for the Indy 500, which is what we're getting at. She was basically criticized a lot. They weren't sure if she could even race the car, and then a lot of men were like, they would interview the other drivers and they would be like, oh, well, she's going to get us killed or get someone killed or something like that. Like basically criticizing her, when they hadn't even seen her drive. When she tried to qualify, the car didn't work. Like the car that this guy had, he knew it wasn't like fast cause he didn't have that much money.
Yeah.
So then she tried to qualify, it didn't work, and they basically like were like, well, you can't drive the car anymore because it doesn't work. And the owner went around asking people for help and nobody would help.
That's fucked.
Yeah, that sucks.
And he went to one guy because this guy was a contrarian. That's how he put it. And this guy named AJ Foyt. And he told him that nobody would help them. And this guy got really pissed. And he was a 3-time champion. And he had like a backup car in case his car, like, because he was an owner. Yeah. In case his car didn't work. And was like, well, she can drive this to qualify. And they basically fixed it up real quick. And she went through. And she would have qualified with the time she got. But because it was his backup car, he didn't let her drive the race in that car.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
And which is understandable. Like a lot of people, we're saying like that sucks. But I mean, if his car breaks down,
I was gonna say if if an accident happens.
Yeah, during the qualification. Like,
not because she's a woman, but because they happen. Yeah.
It's his car. Yeah. Also, it's like his backup car. So like if the other car didn't work, he wouldn't have another car if he let her race that. So what they did was, I didn't even say, before they even let her qualify, the racing like organization that ran the Indy 500 didn't want to let her race. So they made her race in a different race to see if she could even handle the car. And she qualified and then placed on that race. Mm-hmm. And basically showed everyone that she could drive the car. Nice. And then finally she was late. And they almost didn't even let her qualify because there was another driver called Arlene Hiss, who was also racing those types like open wheel cars. And she was driving so slow that they pulled a black flag. Black flag means you have to pit. And so they made her pit only to ask her if she was okay.
Because she was going so slow. Because she was a
woman. Yeah, because she was a woman and she was going so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people got pissed of that they asked her to pull over. Even though she was letting everyone pass her. Like, there was nothing wrong with her going that slow.
She wasn't in anyone's way.
No, but it is kind of dangerous to drive slow when everyone else is going really fast. Yeah. But it's still kind of stupid that they just made her.
Because they wouldn't have pulled.
If it was a guy, they probably wouldn't have done that. So anyway, when that first car broke down, all the other drivers were like, see, I told you, it's because she's a woman. Like, without acknowledging that it was because it was a mechanical issue. It wasn't like her driving. And then they asked them like after, and they were like, oh, well, like, good like for her or whatever that she qualified or whatever, but she still didn't get to race. So anyway, the owner of NASCAR that weekend, when she didn't qualify, offered her to race at a different race for NASCAR. So she basically had 3 days to practice on a car she's never driven.
Dang.
And so NASCAR, if you guys remember from that same like Le Mans podcast, was a stock car race. So basically it was cars that were normal cars that were built to race or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had certain specifications and they didn't have, what's it called? Power steering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I don't know if you've ever driven a car that doesn't have power steering.
I don't think so.
Yeah. my dad had a truck. My dad had a truck that the power steering didn't work. And you're basically trying to turn a car that, like, the entire weight of the car.
Oh my God.
And NASCAR is like in a circle.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were worried that she wouldn't finish the race, like endurance wise.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were saying because she had never driven those cars before, but it was really because she was like a woman. Like, they didn't believe that she could handle it. So anyway, three days of practice, she qualified and she ran the race. I think she ended up, I guess I didn't write it down, but she ended up like 15th or something like that in the race out of like, I think it's 20. So in a car she's never driven without power steering.
Like under 3 days to,
to train and race and do 600 miles, which is insane. And then there's a documentary, there's a 30 for 30, if you guys ever seen 30 for 30s, like ESPN documentaries about her. And she said that she almost quit, but from nausea because the exhaust broke in the engine. So she was breathing in like engine fumes. And she had a backup driver. So she pulled in and she was like yelling at her pit crew, like, you know, like something's wrong with the engine. Like, and then they wanted to switch her out because they thought she was like quitting. And she was like, she like waved at the other driver, like, no, I'm like not quitting. Like, fix the damn car.
Yeah.
So then I think they did something to like patch it, and then she finished the race or whatever. Yeah. She ended up racing 4 more NASCAR races that year, and then basically started to train for the next year's Indianapolis 500 with the same like team.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1977, she finally qualified for a race, and then which was like a big deal. Like, everyone was like cheering and all this stuff because no woman had ever qualified to race.
Yeah.
And then the next day, as soon as they started racing, her car started to break down.
No.
After lap one. So she noticed right away that there was trouble. So when she finished the first lap, she pit and she was like, there's something wrong with the car. And then they thought they would fix it and she would go around one more time. And then in that lap, she would come back and pit. The pit crew was like determined to not stop her racing. So they were like trying so hard to fix the car. She ended up 12th place from the entire race. But she didn't finish all the laps because two cylinders ended up breaking 10 laps before the race was over. But she still ended up 12th, which was, it's like middle, which is still hard.
Yeah.
Like nowadays to stay that high.
Especially after all those issues.
Yeah, especially like having to pit so many times. And even during the commentators, like for the TV, were saying like they're taking really long in the pit stop, like because they were like basically trying to repair the car.
Yeah,
which was like a big achievement. During her NASCAR races, the same thing, like the drivers were like, she shouldn't be racing, like she's a woman. Even just to start the race, the guy didn't want to say anything else but, gentlemen, start your engines.
Oh,
like
my God.
He was being a pain in the ass about it. And I'm just like, I don't think she cared.
She's
a
good fuck. She's like, do you know what to deal with?
But anyway, his excuse was that this was for the Indianapolis 500. The excuse was that man started the engine anyways, because back in the day, they started the engine from the outside. So like, it wasn't like driver started the engine like they do now. They had like a little machine that would like turn the motor. And there was a woman in her team that was like licensed mechanic for the races. And she was like, well, just to screw him over, I'm going to start the engine. So she started her car.
Nice.
Yeah, because they were pissed that he said that.
Yeah.
So funny. I was like, yeah.
But suck it, yeah. Announcer guy.
So she was really like a tough, like, woman. So basically her whole thing was that she wanted to race Indianapolis 500. And I think it was kind of like she didn't say it, but it kind of sounded like she was motivated by the fact that they would criticize her. Because she didn't race any other race, specifically because she couldn't get sponsors. Like, nobody would sponsor her cars. And then at some point, Texaco started sponsoring her car, and part of her contract was that she had to make commercials, and she said she hated it. She had to be there, like, pretending to be, like, Texaco oil or whatever. The best. And then, but anyway, in a couple days before the 1978 race, the race the year after she qualified, she was at, like, a fitness center, and she was playing tennis, and she, like, broke her wrist.
Oh, no.
And so she calls her crew chief and is like, I broke my wrist. And he was just like, he said, he asked her, like, how bad is it? And she was like, it's pretty bad.
It's broken.
Yeah. And
she's
so,
like, it's dislocated completely. But
yeah. So if they would have told the racing, like, people that her wrist was broken, they would have been obligated to not let her race. So they didn't tell anyone. And she raced the entire race with the broken, and back, like, now,
holy crap,
now they shift with the paddles on the steering wheel. She had, like, you shift before, like, in those cars.
Oh my God, that sounds so painful.
And her broken wrist was her shifting hand, and so she had to, like, shift. And she raced the entire race and finished 9th, beating Mario Andretti. And she said that was, like, her happiest moment. That
and most painful.
She toughed it out.
Bananas.
Yeah. She raced one more time in 1979, like the Indianapolis 500. But then that would be her last one, basically saying that it was a lack of sponsorship. After that, she became, like, super vocal about women not getting sponsors for racing and that it was unfair. And she actually had an interview for TV, and she said, men are getting sponsorships and women can't. That sounds unfair. But who cares about unfair? What counts is the bottom line. Sponsors want the publicity that racing brings, but a successful woman driver will get 10 times the attention the man will get. So now, what really is important? It keeps coming back to a good old boy network. A lot of corporations are spending a lot of tax deductible dollars to sponsor male racing drivers. She continued to race NASCAR, I think, till like 80.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or 1980. And she never won a race, but mm-hmm. she continued to qualify. Like, so she was like a pretty good driver. After her first full season, they asked the NASCAR drivers, like the males again, like what they thought of her. And they were like, well, I guess we have to tip our hat to her. Cause like they didn't believe in her basically. Yeah. And now they're like, well, I guess she is a race car driver. Yeah. So that basically she kind of like paved the way. She said in the 30 for 30 that in the, before Indianapolis 500, they do parades. So when she would pass by, she would notice that dads would lift their daughters up on their shoulders so they could see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that that was like one of her proudest moments. Like that's what made her like
feel. I'm not crying, you're
yeah, crying. Yeah. that's what made her feel like proud about what she was doing. Because sometimes she would be questioning like, is this even worth?
Yeah,
well, like,
yeah, yeah.
And then when she would see like the little girls, she would be like, yeah, like this, it's worth it. Like what I'm doing is worth it or whatever. So yeah, I thought she was super cool for doing that. Her helmet and her suit for that first race is in the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
She was also one of the first elected to the International Women's Sports Hall of Fame. And then she was inducted into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame on April 27, 2006. She has an autobiography that people say is like really good. That was released in 2005 called Janet Guthrie, A Life at Full Throttle. It got like full praise from like Sports Illustrated and ESPN and like all the sports places. Since she qualified, there's been a few other women that have qualified now. Lynn St. James.
I was about to ask you because I only know Danica.
Yeah.
I was like, are there any other
females? Yeah. Lynn St. James had 7 career Indy 500 starts from 92 to 97. Lynn St. James is also the first woman to reach 200 miles per hour in a racetrack.
The first person?
First woman.
Holy crap.
Because the men were going 200. Like when Janet Guthrie was racing, the men were going 200 miles an hour at that point already.
Jeez.
Somewhere between 92 and 97, Lynn St. James went 200 miles per hour. Sarah Fisher ran her first Indy 500 at 19. From 2000 Jeez. To 04 and 2007 to 2010, she qualified. Danica Patrick was the first woman to win an Indy race in 2008 in Japan at the Japan 300. Wow. She started 6 times at the Indy 500 from 05 to 2010. Her best position was 4th place in 2005. And her best finish was 3rd place 4 years later.
Wow.
There's a few other younger women now. Milka Duno, Anna Beatriz, Simona del Silvestro.
Mm-hmm.
She's prominent.
I was going to say, because there's this young lady I follow on TikTok. She's like 19 or something, but she's American, I think.
Which one?
I don't know. She's like a teenager and she races. She apparently races in like these big.
Yeah, there's a lot of women that race in like lower divisions, but mm-hmm. there isn't that many that race like at the top, like where they come out on TV or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so now there is going to be, because Penske, who runs like NASCAR teams and Indy mm-hmm. teams, they're gonna do a full women's team. So like pit crew,
That's cool.
Management team, like everyone who runs that team is gonna be all women. Run and the race car driver is gonna be that girl Simona del Silvestro.
So is this like they're gonna have a full female team and pit crew, like playing or racing against the men? Yeah. Or their whole, okay.
Yeah, that's...
So it's not like the WNBA where it's like a whole separate
thing. No, yeah, that's the one thing that I think is cool about racing is that it's not... It's not really like gender neutral because it's not about the driver only. It's about like the engineers and everyone else and the car.
Yeah.
And the car doesn't have sex, so...
Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. So, so their first race is actually going to be in May. For the 105th Indy 500.
That is awesome. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So hopefully they qualify and they keep racing. But yeah.
That'd be cool. I'd watch more racing.
Yeah, there isn't that many.
I'd be one of those people that just showed up to watch that.
There's one girl who races, I think, Formula 3. Mm-hmm. Like Formula 1, Formula 2, Formula 3. And her, like she always says, her goal is to be Formula One, but she's getting a little older and she hasn't even been bumped up to Formula Two. So I don't know. But she also had a huge accident. If I was trying to look her up and I couldn't find anything on her anymore, I don't know why. But I used to follow her on YouTube because she does a lot of sim, like racing, the games.
Oh, okay.
And she goes over like the tracks. She goes like, in this track, like you have to be in this gear at this turn and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I started following her on YouTube and I was like, just to like learn like how the race car drivers race their tracks or whatever. And then like I think like in 2018 she was going into a corner and didn't brake fast enough and hit the car in front of her, and she actually flew up and hit the TV, like the giant TV, like
oh
the
my top. God.
Holy crap.
And so she had to stop racing for a little, but she's back. Like she's like, I want to break.
She didn't die.
Everyone was surprised that she was alive, but it was since they added. So back in the day, like when it was open wheel, they didn't have anything covering their heads. Their heads were like exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Since then they added this thing called the halo, so it's basically like a bar that goes around like above their head and then one pole down. And since then every time they show the play, like replays of accidents, they're always like, if we didn't have the halo, like they would, their head would have been like,
so basically it's preventing the car from collapsing into you.
No, because the chassis has always been made to kind of like protect the driver, so everything else falls apart. Like that's why they look horrible, but usually like the main part where the driver is sitting,
they're still is supposed to
stay intact. But before, what used to happen is they would get hit by like tires and stuff like that. Because the tires are like exposed, so if like a car goes flying, there's like a higher chance of the tire hitting you. And even though you may not feel the injury then, you can feel it like later. So it's like basically to protect the driver's head. So like, I think it was last year, a car
like did
kind of like just flipped over.
Oh, okay.
But the wheel, like the other car was like right behind him, and it would have hit the rear tire would have just slammed the guy's head. But because of that halo, like it didn't.
It saved his life.
Yeah, it saved his life. Same thing with, if you haven't seen Drive to Survive on Netflix, like you should.
No,
It's about Formula One, and it's like every season of Formula One they're doing it. This last year, a guy like lost control of the car and went through like the barrier, like the wall. Like you know how the freeway has those metal
strips.
Well, this racetrack had two, and he went right through the middle of both, and the car caught fire or whatever. But when they do the slow motion, if the halo wasn't there, he would have like not had a head.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Dang. That's nuts. That's
crazy. Yeah. But anyway.
That's awesome.
So this woman, I watched the 30 for 30. I think it's like season 3 or 4 of 30 for 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's on, if you have Hulu, Yeah. It's if on you have Hulu, they're on Hulu.
Yeah. Cool. I'm going to watch that. That's interesting. Anywho.
Yeah.
Where can they find us?
Find us on Instagram at Microwave Coffee Podcast and email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com.
Cool. Thank you guys.
We'll thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Could I get some more coffee?